Welcome to this edition of the Prevention Web People in Disaster Risk Reduction Podcast. Prevention Web, building the resilience of nations and communities to disasters.
I'm speaking with Ronald Jackson from the Office of Disaster Preparedness and Emergency Management, ODPEM, in Jamaica. So welcome to the program, Ronald.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah. It's a pleasure to be on the program with you.
Okay, great. So, Ronald, in the podcast, People in Disaster Risk Reduction, we actually like to speak about what it is that you do on a personal note. So maybe you can first tell me how you got involved in this subject.
Well, it's quite a story. I am actually a trained urban and rural planner. More focus on the development agenda and more certainly sustainable development. Then I went on to qualify myself further in environmental resource management. And having experienced both sides of the coin, where the developer is concerned about putting up development and ensuring that we're growing, and the environmentalist looking at a number of the resources and managing the resources, it was quite an interesting prospect to form the nexus between the two of them and to realize that nexus as an emergency management official, as a disaster manager. Because as a lot of us have begun to realize that disasters have an environmental dimension and it does impact on your economic development imperative.
So what are some of the greatest challenges that you face then in your role as Director General for ODPEM in Jamaica?
Well, there are several. They could all be defined really as resources.
Yes.
But beyond the issue of resources to deal with the tremendous challenge faced by small island developing states, such as Jamaica and the other islands within the Caribbean, resources will always be one of our constraints. Secondly, you know, there are the administrative issues where you are constantly retraining and rebuilding a team in an environment which is very high stress, and persons do not necessarily stick with this type of portfolio for very long periods. I mean, after having to go through certainly one or two hurricane seasons, and the stress weighs on persons, you know, there is a tendency to move on to a life which is less stressful.
Yes.
and more rewarding, because emergency managers are not always the most rewarded persons in the business.
Right.
There is also the matter of the culture, the overall culture towards disaster risk reduction. We are more a people, and this is not unique to Jamaica at all, but we find that people are more, you know, into responding rather than practicing prevention.
Yes.
And mitigation. And so, you know, the challenge for us have been over the years changing that culture, influencing people at the community level and sustaining that influence. And you know, but we've been making significant strides, and so whilst the challenges are there, the value in seeing the transformation has really, you know, sustained us and encouraged us in going forward.
Are there any particular projects or initiatives that you can share that would highlight some of that activity, perhaps at the local level or perhaps even among other island states?
Well, we're deliberately embarking on an exercise now where we are trying to mainstream disaster risk reduction in a number of the sectors within our development agenda, and certainly trying to build capacity and resilience at the community level. And in that regard, we've been working with the local communities to, one, work with them to identify their levels of vulnerability.
Yes.
And to develop programs aimed at building their resilience. So we're doing a lot of knowledge transfer, a lot of training in some specific skill sets, such as first aid, damage assessment, and some light level search and rescue. And we are looking at working with them to design specific projects coming out of the community that would seek to mitigate to a small extent in the first instance, to mitigate the risk and the vulnerability that they are facing within the communities.
And who do you work with at the community level? How does that how does one actually start a project like that and really gain buy-in from the community?
Right. Sure. Well, there are several approaches which we have to take. In some instances, we find that there are existing community organizations that are readily available for us to work with and to build on their existing portfolio. In other instances, we have to really go in and to mobilize the community and form, you know, a group with some kind of leadership that will work with us on these matters. So there are two approaches, but quite often there is a community structure underground with local leadership, sort of like, you know, a community neighborhood watch or various other community-focused groups. We also have the local political leadership, you know, a councillor who may be representing the people, which we try to get in, you know, involved. The church, a number of faith-based organizations, as well as non-governmental organizations. What we try to do is to get all the stakeholders operating within the community to partner with us. And we may do this in the forum of the local or the municipal council, as well as within the community environment itself, the schools, the churches, and other groups, youth groups, which may be operating within the community, to work with them to identify the key players on the ground, the movers and shakers, so to speak, within the communities, that will form a champion for the cause. And once we've been able to do that, we tend to have some amount of sustainability going forward. That said, the sustainability of those efforts and those projects and those programs is sometimes challenged by prevailing social and economic considerations, where persons are now more focused on you know, making a living or dealing with some of the social challenges they may have in their community and not so much on some of the environmental issues, which then takes a back page more likely than not when there is a lull in terms of the experience of an event. So, for example, we would have had Hurricane Gilbert in 1988, which was a tremendous event in the life of Jamaicans as it relates to disasters. And there was a lull until Hurricane Ivan in 2004. So a number of the programs that we would have initiated between 88 going into the early 90s, by the time we got into the late 90s, into 2000, you know, those partners we would have formed and those persons who were champions for the causes would have moved on, or would have not seen the need for risk reduction as being primary because there was nothing happening on that side of the spectrum, but there were other things happening in terms of now trying to build their own economic wealth or position or addressing some of the social issues facing the community. But we've understood the dynamics there, and we understand that it has to be a continuous approach in terms of training and re-educating and re-articulating the vision of risk reduction.
Yeah.
And what we have seen as one of the flagships, so to speak, in addressing the culture change from one of response to risk reduction at the community level is an investment in public education and public awareness building.
And is that happening at all levels, for example, with lower school children to community and adult learning, or how can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, it is. It is happening at all levels. We are currently working on a 3-year project with the support of UNICEF, which is one of our key partners, which is really looking at addressing the education sector. And we are working with the, you know, children with special needs as well as basic schools, primary education school facilities in mainstreaming disaster risk reduction at that level. We also have been for years working with the secondary education and tertiary education systems, such as, you know, doing lectures on the subject matter. And we are now looking at going beyond that towards developing special curriculum for those particular levels within the educational sector. So beyond just a structured approach through a project, we're building in as part of policy, you know, that intervention within the education sector. And we have for quite some time been, you know, having a number of intervention within the private sector organizations, going into the workplace, talking to the employees and the employers mm-hmm. about the need to practice proper risk reduction principles, working with them to identify their hazards within that environment and beyond the environment, and to add, you know, to lead them into paths that would see them mitigating that effect, but also contributing to the larger picture of disaster risk reduction. Again, building partnerships beyond just the usual suspects, for want of a better word,
yes.
but looking at other sustainable partnerships beyond the usual disaster management players.
And we look forward to continuing the collaboration and promoting your work. Prevention Web is the website for information sharing for the ISDR system, and we'll certainly be pointing to that information on the odpem.org.jm website. This is Sarah Wade-Hutman from Prevention Web, and I've been speaking with Ronald Jackson, Director General of the Office of Disaster Preparedness and Emergency Management in Jamaica.
Thank you for listening to this edition of People in Disaster Risk Reduction. I'm Sarah Wade-Hutman for Prevention Web, building the resilience of nations and communities to disasters. Remember, if you have someone you would like to recommend for an interview, you can simply contact us. Click Contact Us from the top right of the PreventionWeb.net homepage. Thanks for listening.